Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Vayeschanan Shishi, the sixth Aliyah in Parshas Vayeschanan. Our topic is Hear, O Israel. It's 22 psukim long and runs from Perek Melvav Pasuk Daled to Chav Hei. Here we have a basic summary. There's three basic sections in this Aliyah. We first hear about what we call today Shema. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Israel Kriyas Shema. Hear, O Israel, Hashem is our God. Hashem is one. And we're told that we need to love Hashem with all our heart, soul, and wealth. These matters should be on our hearts. We're told we should teach it to our children when we sit in our homes, walk on the streets, and lie down and wake up. Notice that the teaching is modeling rather than just pontificating. And then we're told to tie these words to our hands and head, and they should be written on our doorposts. That's tefillin and mezuzos. That's part one of the Aliyah. The second part of the Aliyah is a warning against complacency. Moshe Rabbeinu then tells Israel that Hashem will bring the children of Israel into the land as promised to the fathers, and they'll inherit all these kind of wonderful things. Huge cities they never built, houses full of all good you never filled, wells, olive orchards, vineyards, things that you didn't work on you'll get just like that. He warns them against forgetting Hashem, who brought them out of slavery, because they are to fear Hashem, serve Him, and swear in His name. He then warns them against testing the powers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lest Hashem be angered and destroy them, and He warns them and rather than to be honest, go do the right thing. And sometimes when we ask ourselves, what is that right thing that Hashem wants? We know the answer what Hashem wants. We know what we're rationalizing against. Do what's right. And finally, the last part of the Aliyah is our children asking. When your child will ask in the future, what are all these laws about? You'll explain it as a function of Hashem taking us out of Egypt and giving us these laws as a function of that. And therefore, we should follow the words of Hashem because of this. So that's our Aliyah, our three sections. It's the Kriyat Shema at the beginning. We have the warning about complacency because of inheriting such a great land. And then our children asking. So let's just tackle a few basic points to ponder. First of all, is why is this paragraph in the Torah selected to be our Kriyat Shema, which is said twice or thrice daily? Why is that so important? So it's understood by the Mefarshim that this paragraph represents the notion of what's called Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, accepting the yoke of heaven, loving Hashem. It's not so much commandment-centric, it's not granule, it's about the idea. We're supposed to love Hashem, and that's always the first point. This is essentially our mission statement, loving God. Let's go on. Why is it that we say this Shema, the first line with our hands over our eyes, and what does it mean that Hashem is one? The Chasam Sofer explains that it does not mean to say one and not two. It means one and not anything else. It means to say that everything in the world is godly. Everything in the world has the expression of the divine in it. And the problem is that we look at the reality around us and the societies which seem to be devolving into lawlessness and all kinds of terrible things. It's not always apparent that that's all godly. So we cover our eyes in the aspiration that we'll be able to create a world which is one, a world which we see God in every aspect, but we don't yet see it now, which is the reason why we cover our eyes for it. Interesting point is you'll notice that the pasuk Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Va'ed does not appear in our Aliyah. So how can we insert an extra pasuk into the Kriyat Shema, which comes from our Aliyah, without that being in the Torah itself? So the Gemara in Pesachim Adav Nun Vav Amud Adav tells us that this actually goes back to an interesting story. When Yaakov Avinu was on his deathbed, he wanted to tell the nation, his children, the Bnei Israel, what was going to be in the future, and it was taken away from him. He was not able to do that. He thought maybe it's because the recipients, all my children are not as good as I thought they were. And he says, Shema Yisrael, and his children said to him, no, Shema Yisrael, listen, O Israel, Israel being his name, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. That just like Hashem is one in your heart, He is one in our hearts. Don't worry, it's not as a function of us being the recipients. There must be another reason that you cannot tell us this truth. And he responded in such relief. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Va'ed was a response Yaakov Avinu made to the statement that his children had made. So Gemara says, well, what should we do? Should we say it or should we not say Baruch Shem? So on the one hand, Yaakov said, on the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu did not say it. So in deference, the Gemara says, we say it quietly, b'chashai. That's the reason why there are origins of this minhag as well. Let's go on to another question. What does it mean that we're supposed to serve Hashem b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol moedecha? So the Gemara in Brachos, well, actually it's the Mishnah in Brachos, and Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph tells us, b'chol and levavcha means b'shnei yitzarecha. The word for heart in Hebrew is lev. The levav with two bases means both your inclinations, your indulgences for negative and your indulgences for the spiritual. Harness both of those to serving Hashem. Number two, nashecha, is there's going to be times where even putting your life on the line is going to be required for the Torah. Not always, but sometimes in Jewish history, and unfortunately many of our ancestors had to do that. That is also part of the deal as well. And what's b'chol moedecha? The Gemara gives two, or the Mishnah gives two possibilities. One is b'chol mamoncha, all your wealth. The Gemara later on questions, is that a person, if you have to give your life, you're not going to give your money? And the Gemara says, yeah, well, some people actually value their money more than their lives, which is why the Torah presents both options. Or also b'chol moedecha doesn't mean with all your allot. Your lots of, which means money, could mean b'chol mida u'mida shu'moided l'cha. Anything which Hashem gives you, any attribute, any situation in life which you receive, you should be thankful to Hashem. You should serve Hashem for this. Now, why are tefillin and mezuzah so central to the theme of Shema? Why are the two mitzvahs which are picked at the end over here, these physical mitzvahs? It was really like they're the one that actually contain the parashah of Kriya Shema. So when we tap the mezuzah on the door, and when men tie on tefillin in the morning and they put it on their arms and their heads, they're actually putting the paragraph of Shema there. So it's almost like the love note that God gave us. And when a dear person sends one a love note, one puts it next to their bedstand, and then one puts it on the fridge, and one keeps it in their car and in their wallet. It's something which is special. This is the way of keeping this special love note about our responsibility and Hashem's love of us. Finally, why is Hashem warning them not to test Hashem in this Aliyah? Why is that so central to Aliyah? And the Ramban explains this is the whole theme of this entire Aliyah, and perhaps even the Parsha. There's now being a transition. We're now moving away from the miraculous experience in the desert to the very material and very natural existence in the land of Israel. So Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to say to them, don't expect miracles tomorrow, and don't test Hashem for miracles. Don't ask Hashem to do all kinds of crazy things for you, because that was. You know how you see Hashem? Follow the rituals, follow Pesach, Shabbos, Sukkot, all Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, remembering those miracles. And when you live these rituals, you will remember all the experiences of the past. Moshe Rabbeinu is bridging generations, a generation which does not see miracles, harking back to the generation which did, and realizing that they are in fact the same. That's what's meant to be over here. Finally, last question on this Aliyah is, who is the son who is asking these questions about the past at the end of our Aliyah? And this is actually, fascinatingly enough, the Ben HaChacham. Remember, there's four sons who ask questions of the Haggadah. The Ben HaChacham, the wise son, is in our Parsha. Unlike the other three sons who are found in Parsha's boy, right after Yetzias Mitzrayim, right when it's actually happening, where they're responding to a phenomenon and stimulus, here, the Ben HaChacham is not living at that time. He's now looking generationally back and saying, you know, I'd be interested to find out more about my culture and my family. I'd be interested to find out what this is all about. Tell me, why am I keeping all these laws? And you know what the answer is? If you study your culture and you know your history and you realize Hashem took you out of Egypt, you'll understand that all these laws come from that. That Hashem chose you, wanted you, and made you into the special nation. You're part of a greater culture. You're part of a greater trajectory of history. When you understand that, keeping these laws is part of that package deal. And that's what's happening over here. And this is why it's the Ben HaChacham. I'm not responding to a stimulus, but responding to a question, an intellectual idea of trying to find identity and purpose. With this, we close the Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.